God gave me this sermon about 4 weeks ago. And I have a little whiteboard, and so when I have inspiration, I just like write it down. And I had no idea that I was told I was going to preach on joy, and I didn't put it together until like yesterday, that today is the week of joy. And so those of you that think I have it together all the time, no, I just, God does. And I just follow, and that's also going to be part of a theme here. Just funny how those things work out. And there's been a couple things. We're going to read from Galatians, because we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and that was called out. And there's just like themes, how the whole thing came together. And I promise you, we did not talk about all these things to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And I had no idea that joy was today until yesterday when I looked at Jamie, and I was like, working on my sermon, I was like, hey, it's the third Advent tomorrow. She's like, yeah. I was like, that's joy. She's like, yeah. I was like, my sermon's on joy. She was, I know. Isn't that why you're doing joy? I was like, apparently, yes. Apparently, God had it all worked out together. So yes, yes, I am. And I was fully planned, but not by this one. It's just funny. And I set this up because I'm going to be a little extra today. Jamie says I'm usually extra on Sunday anyway. I've got a little bit more pep in my step, and like, I'm up early, and I bombard her most mornings anyway. I get up before she does, and so by the time she's up, I'm fired up. But on a Sunday, it's extra special. Because I'm excited and I'm joy-filled about Sunday because of what Sunday brings. And so there will be crowd participation and I will get extra. And I'm sorry, not sorry, one of those moments. So let's get into it. So today is the third Sunday of Advent where we lit the Advent candles, joy being pink, and we're going to get into that. That's the top question. Why is the joy candle pink? Why wouldn't it be love? We're going to get into that. We get to reflect on joy and how it relates to Jesus in our lives, and we get to ponder how we share it. So let's back up. What is joy? I'm going to follow Pam's lead from last week. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says it is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness that comes from success, good fortune, or a sense of well-being. The Bible says joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22-23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Show of hands, how many people just sang the song, Fruits of the Spirit? Oh, we got a good bit, about 10, good. Mary exclaims in Luke 2, while talking to Elizabeth, quote, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, end quote. The shepherds expressed, still in Luke 2, the shepherds expressed joy through uncharacteristic behavior by going and telling everyone about what they had seen. The miracle of God's love and salvation displayed through a baby lying in a manger. They told of the angels coming to them and how everything the angels said was true. Why is this uncharacteristic and extraordinary? Well, at this current time, in this culture, the shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were in the bottom rung of society, right down there with tax collectors. They were kind of outcasts. I'm sure mingling with people was not their top 10 thing to do when you're an outcast. But joy came into their lives, and they couldn't help themselves but to do uncharacteristic and extraordinary things by going and telling everybody everywhere that they could that Jesus Christ the Savior was born. They had to share it. There was a deep desire that God embedded when the angels come. They had to. I wonder what else came after that. The Bible doesn't really tell us. They just pop in and pop out, and only Luke talks about these guys. This is why some call the joy candle the shepherding candle, and why it is pink. Some because this came about in like 1839-ish is when the Advent candle kind of came about as symbolism of what we're celebrating this season. So liturgically, joy is a color pink. And some say that it came about that way because joy is spontaneous sometimes, and it propels us. You get overjoyed by something, and it propels enthusiasm beyond anything, and it's kind of different than peace, love, and hope. Those things may, like you find a deep love, you may be overjoyed or something, but joy is really propelled spontaneity. It's some of the thought process behind what the folks of 1839 put together when they put the wreath together. It propels us, or when you are overjoyed and you're rejoicing, doesn't it propel you sometimes to go outside your comfort zone and do extraordinary and uncharacteristic things? Maybe be over the top on a Sunday morning, causing your spouse to do one of these numbers while she's holding her cup of coffee. We share that joy in our actions and in our attitude. I'm going to paraphrase and sum up one of my favorite songs about joy. And essentially all the lyrics combined together is this in a nutshell. Joy is not a feeling, but a state of being when joy is from the Lord. When you have joy in the Lord, it's more of a state of being. Let's talk about Christmas. You open up that Christmas present. Oh, you're overjoyed. It's that one thing that you were thinking about and put on your list and you told everybody that you possibly could. And you get that joy. And it's great, and it's fantastic, and it's a great thing to have in this world. But over time, that joy subsides, and there's another pair of shoes that you're looking at that you have to have. Or fill in the blank. But joy from the Lord, when you unpackage that and you get that in your life, there's not another Lord you're looking at. There's not another color of those 574 New Balances. Or fill in the blank. There's just the Lord, and that joy is everlasting. And it doesn't fade away when you throw the wrapping paper away. Or the next fill in your blank causes your eyes to fixate on it. So, I told you I was going to be over the top. Share That Joy is the game that we're going to learn about playing today. Some of the original contestants on this game included Mary. She rejoiced in her heart, included the shepherds. They couldn't help themselves. They ran off to the village and had to tell everybody to share that joy. That joy being the joy of the Lord. Coming as a baby, unexpectedly, but yet expectedly if we'd paid attention to the prophets. Sacrificing Jesus' life on the cross for us to get that salvation so that we could have this joy that passes our understanding, rises above circumstances, and help us through it. And man, what we're going to learn about today is we can't keep that to ourselves. We have to share that joy. Oh, boy. Too much or just enough? I think, all right, just enough. Okay. So we're going to go back to, we're in Philippians 2, 1 through 18, if you want to follow in your Bible. We're going to go back to this because it's awesome. Share that joy. All right, this is where crowd participation continues to come in place because we have three questions at the beginning. Actually, it's four. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Exuberant?
Yes!
Yes. Any comfort from his love?
Yes.
Any fellowship together in the Spirit?
Yes.
Are your hearts tender and compassionate?
Yes.
If you answered yes, which we all did, and Facebook, I know you did too. You're like yelling and your neighbors are like, what's happening? It is our mission to share that joy. Reading on, starting in verse 2. Then make, and this is For those that aren't familiar with Philippians, this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. And so when it's I, it's Paul speaking to the congregation. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases God. Do everything without complaining and arguing. I had to read that one a few times, so I'm going to go back and read it one more time. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. I just have to stop on there. Don't take away what God's doing in your life by complaining or arguing. That's the point of that. You do really great things and you're like, oh, but it took like all day. It takes away from that in an instant. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Man, powerful. Powerful scriptures. It's all summed up in there. Like, there's nothing really more for me to say. The word, man. Ugh. But we'll break it apart into three portions here. So at the beginning, it talks about don't be selfish. Try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take interest in others too. What we can take from that is as a body of believers, we agree wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is our Savior. It doesn't mean we're never going to disagree about anything. It means that at the core, we agree wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is our Savior, which is a foundation for us to love one another and to work together with one mind and one purpose led by the Holy Spirit. Share that joy. Two, we need to have an attitude of Christ. Humble, not boastful. Jesus Christ understood who he was, but did not allow pride to take hold. He was the Son of God and accepted the challenge of walking this earth in these human bodies as a baby. Put that into context a little bit. What can a baby do for itself? It can cry. Bodily functions just happen. They can't do anything about it, though. Could you imagine the Savior of the world, the King, coming as a baby, helpless? having to depend on others. Man, that's humble. That is truly humble. He didn't cling that Jesus was equal with God. Jesus put others before self. I don't think I've read one story, and please challenge me because I always want to be challenged and grow, where Jesus put Jesus first and not others. Jesus was always on the way to somewhere, had a mission, somebody stopped, they stopped. The interests of others were always put before Jesus. And Jesus took interest in others. I love this, where it says, don't look only out for your own interests, but take interest into others. Conversation with the gal at the well. Took an interest in her life. Conversations with disciples over and over again, asking the same questions, and Jesus is like, guys, we talked about this yesterday, but Jesus took an interest in the disciples' growth and learning. That's what that was. Sure, when Jesus was teaching about forgiveness 7 times 7, he's like, yeah, that's how many times I have to teach these disciples over and over and over again too. But he took an interest and he had patience. Jesus was obedient to God, over and over again, obedient to God. So we need to have an attitude of Christ so we can share that joy. 3, show the results of your salvation. You don't have to work for salvation. Let's read that again. Some people work really hard for that, right? They've got their to-do list for salvation. There's nothing you can do or not do to get that. It only comes through Jesus Christ. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Show the results of your salvation. You don't have to work for salvation, but to share the joy you receive from knowing you are saved may take a bit of work, because we have to set ourselves in point 1 and 2, but also from knowing that you are saved and you are awesome and wonderfully made. And God wants to work in and through you. Allow God to work in you, giving you that desire and power. Stop complaining and cease arguing. So you reduce the noise in your head. Think about the days you can't hear God the most. Be a light of goodness, leaving clinging, innocent lives. Hold firm to the word of life when the world's temptations come around, and they come around. Your faithful service is an offering to God. Show the results of your salvation and share that joy. Band, you might want to start coming up. Share that joy, church. Share the joy that passes our understanding and rises above to carry us through our circumstances, demonstrating our salvation to others, encouraging them to seek the only place where lasting joy comes from, Jesus Christ. We've got to share it, church. I know I'm going to be cheesy and cliche, but this little light of mine, don't hide it. You want to sing that, Susan? It's your favorite song. Right? This little light of mine, we are given a gift of salvation. We are given a gift of being able to have a relationship with God. Don't be shy about it, church. Other souls are on the line as well. We've got to share that joy. And I specifically say that joy because, one, the Bible said it. I want all of you to share that joy. But when I thought about that, why didn't they say the joy? Why is it that joy? Because there's a lot of joy. We read Merriam-Webster Dictionary, success, happiness, achievements. That's of this world. But when you think of that joy, it's the joy of the Lord that we're talking about. That joy. So one more time, we're going to go out and go forth, and we're going to share that joy. Congratulations. That is a lifelong contestant journey right there.